money.
It's good to see everyone here this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. It is good to be here at Faith Baptist Church in Traverse City. We were planning to be here last year, and for right or wrong, we just decided to play things safe with what was flying through the air last year. And my wife and I everything was planned. And we were going away to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. And so we decided, you ask our church members, I was probably acting kind of weird. But like I said, we just weren't sure what was with all the stuff going on. And so with all that precaution, I ended up in the ICU for 5 days. And I had what my doctor called an RA attack, which I had never heard of before. I have rheumatoid arthritis. And I woke up early one morning, around 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't walk on one foot. And I started thinking, how in the world do you break your foot in your covers sleeping at night? And turns out, within a few hours, the ankle was swelling. My wife, I guess, took Abby to school that morning. When she came back, I said, we've got to go. So we went to the clinic, and they told us it was going to be about an hour and a half wait, something like that. And we sat in the car, and I just said, we got to go to the hospital. By the time she got me to the emergency room, I was in septic shock. Doctor doesn't know why I went into septic shock, but it wasn't good. And so, but the Lord had all that, under his control, and learned some things. And so we celebrated our anniversary a few months later, and our trip went on. So we're thankful, but we're glad to have made this trip. Amen. And we're glad to be here. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at Matthew 4. We'll also be in Ephesians chapter 6 tonight. You'll have to excuse my voice. Probably over the last year, the resonance of my voice has kind of disappeared, and I think I lost it with all that weight. And but that's all right. I'm okay with it. Our sound person just turns it up a little bit, but I'll do my best to make my voice heard. I prayed about this. This is a subject that there's just so much there. And the Lord thought was taking me one direction, and then shortly after that was a dead end. He brought me to these thoughts that I want to share with you this evening. We see Jesus. I've always loved the conference theme. We see Jesus. We need to see more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our ministries, in our daily lives, our churches, with all of, and I'm not going to go into the stuff that's going on, but it's been hard. And but we know that God is able, and as the brother just prayed, our duty has not changed. We still need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to see him clearly so that we can show him to others. Amen. Clearly. Matthew chapter 4, and I want to read the first 11 verses. Matthew 4, verse 11, familiar passage. Jesus, we know, had just been baptized by John the Baptist and has now going to go through something prior to the beginning of his ministry. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Here's an interesting thing Satan says. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Tonight, I want to attempt to preach by the power of the Holy Spirit how that we see Jesus as an example in spiritual warfare. If you've been saved for any period of time, and I really don't know what that phrase means, Brother Roland. That could mean a week, 2 weeks, 3 days, or 40 years. We all know what spiritual warfare is like. We know what it's like to battle the enemy. We know what it's like to battle Satan, the temptations that Satan throws our way. We know what it's like to go against the world. Wow, what a world we're living in. A world that has always been anti-God. But it's just amazing how intense it is now. And that's an enemy. I understand what people mean when they say, and you'll they'll take it, we're gonna go there in Ephesians in a moment, and they say, people aren't our enemy. I don't know where they've been, but for centuries, Satan has been using people. And I understand he would use us too if it weren't for the grace of God. And so I don't say that to say, well, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we need to understand. I used to get mad at the world, at lost people. How can you get mad at lost people for not doing what they don't know how to do anyway? And yet this world is being used by Satan to battle us. But the worst enemy we all know is our flesh. That old nature, the old man. All of the battles and wars in history were a direct result of the depravity of mankind. God's creatures rebelled against their Creator. They shook their fists in the face of God, plunging the human race into a sinful state. We're going through Genesis in our Sunday school class, in the adult Sunday school class. The wickedness, you know, you read there in Genesis 6 what the Bible says about what God saw. And it's, you know, when you really try to, in your mind's eye, get a view of what God saw, wicked, wicked, wicked. And we're living in, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Conflicts are a part of life, and no one is exempt. The battlefield may be within ourselves. It may be in the home. It may be in the workplace, the neighborhood. Hopefully not, but it can be in one of the Lord's churches. And those without Christ war with God. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:10, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Amen.
The longer I live, the more I appreciate that peace.
Amen.
For the child of God, while there is forgiveness and peace with God, new conflicts arise, don't they? I tell people when the Lord saves them, I say, you know, your battles are changing, but you're still going to have battles, and they will be intense. So this raging war with the flesh, the world, and the devil and his hosts, we're going to have to deal with until the Lord takes us home. I believe that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the perfect example of how to battle in spiritual warfare. And I want to take these verses here, a familiar passage that we see, and see how Christ leaves us an example, in particular with how to use his word. And what a great gift, I say that, and, you know, those words aren't enough, that we have, being able to have the word of God in our hands, to be able to see it with our eyes, to be able to be transformed by it, in order for us to be victorious in the battle. The Great Wall of China provided a tremendous defense against its enemies. But one traitor from within could have caused the defeat. Satan comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in human terms was a weak time. We know that it's almost unfathomable to think about the fact of the God-man. He was all God, and yet he was all man. The Bible says that he has been touched with the infirmities just like we have been. He went through what we go through. How do we handle the temptations? Well, I think we need to see Jesus. How do we fight the spiritual battle? I think we need to have our captain in view, our commander in chief, if you will. Paul says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so as he began his earthly ministry, he faced some major temptations in some of the same basic ways that you and I do. John says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." We see in verses 2 through 4 how that Jesus was tempted, and we can see that just as we can fit the temptation of Eve in the garden, we see that Satan didn't change his tactics. He used the same tactics on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he uses the same tactics on us. The Bible says, "When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Satan's good at that little word, if. You know, if that's true, if what you say you believe is true, then, and he'll throw things at us. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written." It is written. In fact, we'll see all three times Jesus says, "It is written." What an example. Yeah. What an example. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We learn here we need God's word. We need physical food. We came up and we went up to the Sleeping Bear Dunes to show Abigail the Sleeping Bear Dunes. And when your 9-year-old says, "Let's keep going, Dad," you want to please her. "My legs are tired." We had a good time. We went to get some food at a fast food restaurant, which is something that we don't do often anymore. And though I was hungry, you can't compare the physical food with the spiritual food. We succumb to desires, wrong appetites. We abuse our body. Someone told me, they said, well, you know, you were tall. You carried that weight all right. I said, that's a lie I told myself for years. And without even thinking about it, we abuse ourselves. We abuse our bodies. We think it's going to make us feel good, and we end up perverting the good. That's what Satan does. He perverts the good. Yes. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach against fast food. I'm done with that. But, you know, he perverts. Oh, this is good. And we lose sight of what the meaning of the word moderation is. It's okay to watch a little TV. It's okay to do a little of this. It's okay to... Well, some things we know aren't okay. But he likes to take the things that might not be necessarily sin, knowing our appetites, and they end up taking the place of the Lord. And they become sin. The lust of the flesh. Then we see in verses, I'm going to skip over to verses 8 and 9. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And he expected Jesus to believe that. It's amazing what people believe. We might say, well, you know, he's Satan. He had the power to do that. Not unless God gave him the power to do that. And he was talking to him. Jesus wasn't giving him the power to do that. And he just said, get thee hence. You know, that's a good comeback to the good old temptations that the devil throws our way. Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence. For it is written, there it is again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We see here the lust of the eyes. The temptation appealed to the eye. That's what Eve came to realize when she looked at that tree. It's funny how you look at life after temptations or in temptations, and we might catch ourselves saying, oh, well, yeah, I never thought of that. I never looked at it that way. That's kind of what Eve probably did when she, you know what? That tree looks better today than it did yesterday. Thank you, Satan. Now, I know I'm throwing stuff in there, but that temptation, she succumbed to it. And of course, we understand in the sovereignty of God, that was God's plan. I'm not, that's another sermon or series. But it is there for our example to see, hey, this is how Satan works. Right. Today, we are consumed by what the eye gate sees. Materialism says we must have all the stuff. And to have all the stuff, yeah, sometimes I got to work Sundays. Sorry, Pastor. The houses, the boats, the jewelry, whatever you want to, whatever you can put in there. And all these things consume our lives if we're not careful. That's why we need to stay in the book. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the things that God provides as long as He remains preeminent. Yes. Try to tell people, listen, you know, we brought young people up, you know, and parents brought their young people up, and we told them, listen, this is how you do a job interview. Okay? And where he is, Brother Lentz here? Oh, okay. All right. Pray for him. I know he's been having some back problems. I knew he was planning on coming. He'd teach those teens, listen, bottom line, right from the get-go, I don't work Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen. Wednesday nights. I just don't. And then they'll come to you and say, well, you know, we're doing inventory. We just need you this one time. Yeah. Get thee hence. That's what you need to say when that happens. Now, you can deal with them respectfully, But and I've experienced this. They will get you for everything they can. And then once they get you, well, you did it before. Why won't you do it this Sunday?
Right.
Or you did this before. Why won't you do this now? I had a boss that tried to get me to sell used boxes. It was a moving company. To sell used boxes for the price of a new box. And I just said, I won't do it. I said, I have a boss that's way higher than you. And I just won't do it. We have to realize that you'll get this, and I'll give you a bonus, and you'll have this. We need to see Jesus. We need to remember it is written. And then quickly, the pride of life. You go back to verses 5 and 6. Took him up into the holy city. And there's so much here in depth, you know, of the background of all of these temptations that we don't have time to do. But and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. According to some, this is probably on the southeast corner of the temple as it faced the Kidron Valley. No doubt many people. You know, Satan is good at tempting us when people are watching. Yeah. I failed times when that took place. That temptation came to our first parents in Genesis 3. Take a bite of this. It'll make you wise. You'll be as gods. Poor Eve, she tried. She tried to quote God, and she couldn't even quote God right. It's so important that we are careful that when we make decisions, it's not based on what we think the Bible says. It should be based on what the Bible says.
Amen.
See, that's where Eve went wrong there. And of course, the Lord didn't get it wrong because he's the one that wrote it. I heard someone criticize the New Testament when it was talking about Jonah. Said the King James translators got it wrong. They used the word whale. Let me tell you what, Jesus can quote himself however he wants to. Okay? I believe the King James Bible is God preserved, not man preserved. And so if the King James Bible says whale, I'm okay with it because Jesus can quote himself because he's the one that said all that. It's his word from cover to cover. So the only remedy to defeat the flesh and to defeat Satan is to starve that flesh and to put Satan where he belongs. And so when we look at this, we realize to combat the enemy effectively, God gives us an arsenal of weaponry. And we must take careful aim. Heard the story about commanding general visiting the troops on the front line during the Korean War. And the general was walking along, and all of a sudden, three sniper shots went screaming by his head. "Where's that sniper?" he said. The sergeant replied, "Sir, we know exactly where that sniper is at." "Well, then take him out!" He said, "Sir, you don't understand. That sniper's been shooting at us for 6 weeks, and he hasn't hit anyone yet. We're afraid if we take him out, they'll replace him with someone who can shoot straight." There are a lot of warriors that aren't shooting straight. They're not focused. My dad used to take us out in the backyard and taught us how to shoot bow and arrow. My dad was on an archery league years ago, and he taught us to take that bow and just take that target and just move it in a circle, get it smaller, smaller, and smaller. Bullseye. My dad could shoot a lifesaver hanging from a string. I can't remember what the distance was. We as God's people need to shoot straight. And we're not going to be able to take out the enemy if we don't know our weapon. Now let me quickly give you I'm going to give you six weapons, but I'm going to concentrate on the six of them, so I'm just going to go through the first five quickly. First of all, we need the weapon of commitment.
Yes.
Baptists need to be committed to the Lord. And you cannot separate the Lord from His church.
True.
You can't say, well, I'm faithful to the Lord. I might not be faithful to church. Nope, that doesn't go together. That does not go together. You cannot be faithful to Jesus Christ if you're not faithful to the institution that He started. You know, well, we go, we travel a lot, but we make sure we're in church, but you're not in the church that your name is in. That's where you're supposed to be. And I'm not anti-vacation. I take a vacation here every two or three years. Yeah. Took two of them last year, but that was my 30th anniversary, so you got to cut me slack there. But we need to be faithful. We need to be committed. We must resolve to be conquerors. Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are already victors in Christ. Let's stay committed to Him because we already know we have the victory. Secondly, we have the weapon of comprehension. This is tied very closely to the Word of God. We must be students of the Word. Jesus, I guess you could say, was a student of the Word. It was His Word. He knew it inside and out, front and back. He knew exactly how to defeat Satan. The enemy will defeat us if we do not have an understanding. And God has given us in His Word an understanding of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul, in encouraging the Corinthians in that second letter, in the midst of his encouragement, he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I don't believe you need to study witchcraft to have an understanding of witchcraft. I don't think you need to take a college course in sin in order to understand the effects of sin. God has given us in His Word everything that we need to know. I always say, you don't have to stick your head in a garbage can to know it stinks. Just listen to the garbage man. He knows it stinks. All right? God knows sin stinks. God knows that temptations. I grew up hearing this one. You know, there's no temptation, or there's no sin in temptation. Are you kidding me? Really? How many times have we put ourselves in the place of temptation? How many times have we allowed ourselves to go a certain direction knowing that on that path was temptation? It's just not wise. The weapon of comprehension is important. I believe there's also, thirdly, the weapon of confidence. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Those are the 10 most powerful words you'll ever understand. If you know the Lord, if Christ, if you are walking closely, following Him, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We understand a stronghold like a fortress, usually on top of a hill. It was strong, fortified. And defense, it was a defensive place where the defenders could hide and fight. And we now can face a powerful stronghold and see that stronghold pulled down by utilizing the arsenal that God has given us. The fourth weapon is the weapon of compliance. What good is a soldier if when he's given a command, he doesn't say, yes, sir? I find it interesting when you study nature. Isn't it amazing? I mean, even in Scripture, nature obeys the Lord. Remember, Christ was out there in the storm a couple times. And He said, peace be still. He didn't have to yell, didn't have to scream. He didn't have to point His finger at it and yell it down. It just happened. I love studying and reading the passages where God gives an angel a command, especially in Revelation. And just in my mind, you know, God in heaven gives a command, and all of a sudden, phew, that angel goes into action. Goes down to earth, whatever the wrath is, and stuff you read of in Revelation. And in the moment's notice, you never hear an angel saying, yeah, but Lord, if we do it this way. Isn't that funny how Baptists do that?
Yep.
Baptists do that all the time. Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but...
Right.
I used to tell people, where do you find that yabbit in the Bible? People got these yabbits following them around. I said, a rabbit? No, yabbit. They read a command of God and say, yeah, but... We get the command, obey it. And I'm not standing here as a perfect example. Jesus is the perfect example of that.
Amen.
And in no way was Jesus going to go against God's will. He said, I always do the will of the Father. And so the weapon of compliance, we just need to comply. We need to comply. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We must be careful to keep our minds clear of any sinful attitudes and activities. And then, of course, there's the weapon of contending. We need to fight. We need to fight. I realized there were times in my life, the reason I was losing the battle is because I wasn't in the fight. Satan would get his way, and I'm thinking, well, where'd that come from? You know? And the other me would say, duh. You know? And it's like, yeah. And then you get into the Word, and you're like, oh, yeah, wasn't doing that one. Wasn't following that. I heard someone say, you know, you can't stop a bird from flying over you, but you sure can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Just don't let it happen. Don't let it sit there. Be ready. And take this the right way. Be ready to retaliate against any enemy of the mind that is trying to get us away from Christ.
Yes.
Oh, you come over here, Jesus, and you listen, I know what the Bible says. You just throw yourself down there. You know what the Bible says. Well, unfortunately, that could be true for some. Satan might know more of the Bible than some of God's people do. So we need to make sure that we're not in bondage to stinking thinking. And because we'll find ourselves in despair. We'll start believing things that aren't true. We'll get into that mode of, woe is me. Wait a minute, I thought we were victors. I thought we were more than conquerors.
Amen.
So I'm going to just take you to Ephesians 6 as I kind of bring this full circle. Every time Satan tempted the Lord, Jesus answered with, it is written.
Amen.
And I believe, along with a weapon of commitment, comprehension, confidence, compliance to the Lord, and contending, we have some weapons of conquest. We can win against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If we just use the Bible. Does this make sense? Use the Bible biblically.
Amen.
Satan was using the Bible. He used God's word with Eve. He tried to use God's word against God himself. But we need to use it biblically. In other words, we need to cut it straight. Rightly dividing, Paul said. And that's not just for pastors. That's for all of God's saved, scripturally baptized Baptist church members. And so let's notice, and I'm going to go through this a little different maybe than what we might normally look at the armor. But the Word of God is not just a weapon, it's an armory of weaponry. I mean, it's packed full of how to defeat the flesh, how to defeat the world, how to defeat Satan in our daily lives. And so we know these verses well. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now here we go. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now I would submit to you that we call it the girdle of truth, the loins girt about with truth. We see symbolism in these pieces of armor pointing us to the Word of God. What do we call it? Girt about with truth. Or maybe we'll call it the girdle of truth. That's God's Word. God's Word is truth. I'm doing a series on Sunday nights on being counterculture and how we need to have a biblical worldview. And I know that term is thrown out in Christendom, but we need to understand as God's people and as members of the Lord's true churches that we need to look at this world from the Bible's point of view. Okay? Because we're losing our youth because our youth are being trained by the world. And as a pastor friend of mine once said, it's a lot easier to train children than to fix adults.
Right.
Now, God can do it all at any age. We understand that. But we have to put forth immediately in our homes with our children, the Bible is the truth. Everything it says. I told our kids at church one time, I said, you know there's lies in the Bible? Oh, no. Yeah. There's people in the Bible that lied to other people. But the teachings of the Bible, the purpose of the Bible, is 100% truth.
Amen.
And it will last for all eternity. We need to know the Word of God. The second piece, the breastplate of righteousness. This has to do with us obeying the Word.
Amen.
We must be obedient to the Word of God. This is our righteousness in Christ, as Paul talks about back in chapter 4, and putting on the new man. Paul said in Romans 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We need to live moment by moment in obedience to God's Word. We need that. It's not enough just to know God's Word. We must obey it. God supplies the standard. He supplies the power by His Holy Spirit to follow that standard. Something I've taught for years. Find God's standard. Make God's standards your standards and be willing to live with the consequences. People are not going to like it. Family is not going to like it. Your boss isn't going to like it. The world's not going to like it. But you do it anyway. Because that's what God expects of us. Thirdly, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 15. This is the giving of the word. Here's Jesus being tempted, and he used the word of God. It is written. And then we see him as his ministry begins. He begins to give the word. He's teaching. We saw him do that when he was 12 years old, didn't we? Teaching the teachers. We must carry the good news of the gospel. But we must also teach the truth to those who are saved. In our family, that starts there. In our churches, we must be sure-footed, prepared every day to apply the word of God to ourselves and to share it with others. And then verse 16, the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. This is believing the word. That was Eve's problem. I think she doubted. Well, you know, did God say, wait a minute, did God say this? God said, she didn't even have it right. Maybe because she was starting to believe Satan. If we start believing untruth, it'll cause us to doubt the truth. So we must take the shield of faith and believe the word. Believe God's word. We have a great weapon. The Bible says that our victory is even our faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And then we see in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. This is us receiving the word. This is our assurance. We know we're saved. Do you know what causes people to doubt their salvation? Disobedience to God's word. Sin. Sin will cause us to start having doubts. Maybe I'm not saved. Maybe you're not. I was there. I was a lost church member. But we need to believe. Listen, if we're saved by God's grace, God will bring that assurance back to us. We have to make sure we're lining up with His word. Satan's blows are often with a double-edged sword. He wants to cause discouragement, and at the same time, he wants to cause doubt. He points to your failures, your sins, your unresolved problems. Folks, he even does this to preachers. We're not exempt from this. We must have our helmet of salvation securely fastened. That's not talking about we're keeping us saved, but it's that assurance that we have. And we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are a child of God. And then, of course, we see in verse 17, the second part, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is where we attack with the word. It is written. Three times Jesus gave a rebutting attack. It is written. I don't think Jesus was, you know, just kind of a passive, you know, in his human weakness of being hungered and thirsty and, oh, Satan, don't you know it's written? I believe he shot right back at him. We're almost taught to be timid. And sometimes we're intimidated. Because if we make it too known in the workplace where we stand, we might lose our job. Well, maybe God's got a better one for you. Don't doubt. I'm not saying be contemptible and, you know, what is it we always say? Be just flipped out. But, you know, don't be mean about it. Don't be contentious. Content. There it is. But don't be contentious. Sometimes there's a place for contentiousness, and I mean that in a good way, that, hey, the world hates what we believe. They hate what we stand for. They hate the truth. And you know what? Oh, well, you know, what I believe is what I, you believe what you believe, and I believe what I've heard people tell lost people that. No, that's not how you're supposed to answer them.
Amen.
And I'm not saying to take a gospel tract and shove down their throat. I'm just saying, stand up, say, no, you don't understand. This is God's word, and it's the truth. We need to come from what we call presuppositional apologetics, okay? I'm not a real big apologetics guy and trying to convince people. Listen, I'm never going to convince someone to be saved. I have to give them the truth. It's the Holy Spirit that has to save them.
Amen.
My job, I tell people, I say this all the time, God did not call me to debate. He called me to declare. And that's what we are to do with the gospel. That's what we are to do with the word of God. I don't want to fight with anyone. I don't argue with anyone. This is what the Bible says. Balls in your court, right? So we have to contend and be willing to stand and attack. Now, that doesn't mean we attack people and are mean, but we need to be ready for the battle. Jesus Christ is our great example of how to use the Bible. He demonstrates to us that the Bible is the answer. And then the rest of the New Testament he supplied for us through his church, through those that wrote the rest of the New Testament. Folks, we can read, if you have a red letter edition, you can read in the Gospels all the red letters. It's good. It's the words of Christ. But so is the rest.
Amen.
It's God's word. It's God's word. It's as if Christ is with us. He's speaking to us himself. This is his word. And so he demonstrates this is what you do. And then through all of the New Testament writers, we are taught how to do it. And you'll never lose. You'll never lose. We may think we lost. We may think, well, I tried to stand for the truth, but it just didn't work. The Bible never fails.
That's right.
either we fail the Bible, or those we're trying to give the Bible to fail it. Noah. If Noah were to go by that criteria, Noah was a failure. Nobody believed Noah. No one listened. But Noah stayed with the truth. It's not our job to decide who listens. It's our job to say, it is written.
Amen.
And have confidence in what is written. Because Jesus is our example. How to take the word of God and win. Be victorious in spiritual battles. We're in a warfare. And we've got everything we need to win the battle.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Let's stand.